Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, Shauna Cox, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. And I happen to believe the issue that we're going to talk about today is certainly an issue between rural and urban America. But before I introduce my guest, yesterday I heard a lengthy report generating a lot of sympathy for one Utah native, Joshua Holt, who traveled to Venezuela to marry his bride. His bride was from Venezuela. Upon arriving in Venezuela, he was arrested. The report said that guns were planted on him, and he is being held as a political prisoner in Venezuela. What irritated me about that, and my sympathies to the Holt family, I would include them in my prayers because nobody needs to endure that, but what irritated me about that is that that is happening in our own country, and the very same media sources that want to talk about what's happening in Venezuela and how horrible it is would not begin to talk about the political prisoners that we have in this country in the same way. That caused me to get a hold of Shauna Cox, who I have not talked to since we left John Day, Oregon, January the 28th, a patriot like no other in this country. Welcome to the program, Shauna. This is long overdue. Where have you been hiding anyway?
Oh, thank you. I am sort of not hiding, but working really hard.
Yeah.
I'm in Las Vegas trying to help with all the men down here who have been incarcerated. And the battle still rages forward and exposing the evilness that's going on, that's happening in this country to these men, that they cannot be released. Well, they could, but they won't release them for any reason whatsoever. No bail, no ankle bracelets, no anything. They will not release these men. They are being held right now because they were, some of the men are just getting sick and tired of being strip searched every time they make a move. And remember, they've never really been outside the jail, but they strip search them everywhere they go. It's terrible.
Shauna, we need to do something. We have a large segment of our listening audience that have no clue what men you're talking about. Obviously, I'm with you, step, lock, and step. But we're talking about the men that have been incarcerated for now a full year and a half that basically all stem from the Bundy Ranch incident, Bunkerville, Nevada, 2014. Did I do okay?
Oh, yes, that's good. I should have come that full circle. Sorry.
I know, but you're in this thing at like a doctoral level, and we have people that are in elementary school, so we need to. But I want to just back up even one step farther. Do you see why I have just a little bit of frustration about this national media source saying that there's this guy is being held up with a political prisoner, and it's just awful?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because this is a worldwide problem. It's not just in America. But what we've done is allowed it to come into America. That's the sad part.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you at Bunkerville?
Yes, I was. I actually was there from day one. So I guess you could say day one. That was on, they arrested Davey on Sunday. And I arrived on Monday. And after that, I was there in the house at the kitchen table running the telephone and the media and everything for 2 months. I lived there on the couch.
Did you know the Bundys before that day?
I knew Cliven, and I had met Ryan at a meeting when they made the Escalante National Monument. The rest of the family I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
Cliven knew me because I was head of a tea party down there.
That's one thing I don't know about Shauna Cox. What were you doing before the Bundy Ranch situation broke out? What?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a grandma. I have lots of children and grandchildren. I've been politically active for a number of years because we protested the Escalante National Monument back in 1995. It was I kind of got pulled into that, and I think it was Heavenly Father that moved me there for the purposes that we are seeing now, because they did to us and my friend Mary Rucker, after the Escalante National Monument was created, they came in and did exactly to Mary what they're doing to all these other ranchers and have been for years, but we didn't know that. So firsthand, I had experience with that, and then that's how I really met Cliven, and he came and he told me things were coming down at the ranch, and I had been there a week before to visit with him to see what we could help him do, because I didn't know. I had never been to the ranch before, and so I still didn't know for sure, other than I said to him that we would bring the protesters to the port if they gathered the cattle and tried to bring them into Utah. And because all of my cowboys are now, you know, getting older and they're on oxygen and wheelchairs and all the people we've used 20 years earlier, we didn't have as many. But, yeah, so that's why I ended up at Auburn.
Shauna, there are so many atrocities in this whole situation, and we're going to end up talking about Malheur and a trial that is taking place that you were found not guilty on in Portland, and then the second trial, which just completed now 4 weeks ago. But if the public could just get a real view of what federal officials did to the Bundy Ranch cattle, if they could actually see the abuse and the outright terror that they imposed on those cattle, the whole worm would turn. Am I wrong?
I think that they would be awakened to this awful situation. It was really horrific. If anybody knows cattle at all, that they would try to gather them in the springtime during the calving season, that time, you know, that they would push the calves away from the mothers with helicopters to leave the calves, to shoot them and drag them, to shoot them and bury them in a pit. I mean, they were thirsting. It was a very inhumane thing to do, besides beat up all his children. The anger and the nastiness of these people is unprecedented.
Well, to me, and I'm not minimizing the impact to human life. We'll get to that. But anybody that shows the blatant disrespect for a life, whether it be an animal, I mean, if they do it to an animal, Shauna, they don't have respect for human life either.
Of course.
And I think that for whatever crazy reason, this world that we live in today, if somebody abuses an animal, it captures attention more than if they abuse a child, which is absolutely asinine. But if we could get that information to the public, I think it would just change general perception of what actually happened.
Well, it really surprised me. We reached out to PETA and some of those animal activists, and you would be surprised how they shut down. Mm-hmm. They did not come to the rescue. So my thing is, I believe that they're politically motivated. It's the same thing. We go back to the root of money. We tried to get them. Now, you will have some people that care about the cows, but you have a situation where some people like cats and some people like dogs. And so so we have to find cow people who like cows.
Right.
That's kind of a situation.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, those animal rights organizations don't care about animals. Shauna Cox, she nailed it head on, as she typically does. They only care about money. They're not looking for solutions. They just simply want to create problems and then ask you to send money to help with something they created. That sounds a bit like our federal government, in fact. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Shauna Cox, Patriot, like I've never met before from Utah. She's on the front lines always. When we come back, we're going to do a little better job giving you a glimpse of what kind of a patriot she is when the Rural Route continues after this. Let's talk about marketing cattle the superior way this week. Tomorrow. On Thursday, the Country Page has an auction. We started this in the month of March. It's going very well. If you're interested in marketing cattle the superior way, what you do first is go to the website, superiorlivestock.com. Then find your rep. Sit down and talk about maybe you want to be one of the 17 value-added programs. Your cattle might fit that, be a part of a niche. Seeking to achieve every bit of value that you put into your cattle. That's the superior way. Get more details in, and possibly known genetics. Reputation cattle means something still today. And when you have genetics behind the name, it just means all that much more. You capture the real value. That, I repeat, is the important part. SuperiorLivestock.com. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce alongside Shauna Cox. Well, she's alongside in Vegas. She is kind of gambling, but has nothing to do with the casino. She's gambling with her life because she wants to stand up for the truth and the constitutional base that this country has, the God-given rights guaranteed by the Constitution. And for those of you listening that have not followed the situation, Shauna Cox is the individual that was in the pickup being driven by Lavoie Finicum. And Shauna, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have been told by law enforcement people from all around the country, Pennsylvania and California in particular, who say that the video that you captured on your phone during that period of time will be used in police training forever. That it was unprecedented. What you did and what you made public will change lives and will change how law enforcement does business. Did you know that?
I had no idea. No. And to just set the record straight, it wasn't my cell phone. I was trying to make calls on the phone. Mm-hmm. It was my video camera.
Yeah.
I don't know how that got up there, but I still don't have the camera or the video.
That's because they're flying it around using it as training videos.
I guess.
Yeah. Where do you think we should go right now? What do people need to most know about everything we're talking about here?
Oh, I love that question because I really want to tell people that the situation that we're in right now, these problems that we have, are no different than that's happened for centuries. In this very nation, the same thing happened. The people didn't want a king. They wanted to be ruled by judges. And after 40 years of judges, they started these secret combinations, or what we call like now a secret society. They were formed, and they called themselves, well, today we might call them the elite, or the, you know, sometimes we call them liberals or the leftists, but they were actually robbers and murderers. And that is exactly what's happening now, because all their whole objective was to rob and to gain power. Mm-hmm. And it goes in, and they saw it through political means. So they had political power. And that with that power, they wanted to control the armies and the police because they were the greatest physical forces in society. And when they control them, they can still kill, they can steal and kill and commit other wickedness with impunity. So they can't be touched because they make up their own rules. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that constantly, especially in these courts. It's unreal what they do, how they can make up their own rules. They don't follow any constitution. They won't allow you to talk about the Constitution or bring it or talk about God or anything in these courtrooms. They only want to further their secret agenda, the behind the scenes where they can get all this money. If you realize how much money is going through these courts, it's my understanding, and I got it from a pretty good source, that the trials in Oregon, mm-hmm, were over $100 million. That's taxpayers' money torture and
follow a vendetta. They're following a vendetta if you follow the court.
Absolutely. They are absolutely. There is a group, and it isn't just one person. It isn't just one judge, and it isn't just one court. Mm-hmm. It is a huge undertaking of many people that are in this secret society who are doing it for political power and gain.
Okay, and I want to jump in, Shauna, because you sound like a crazy person.
And
just hear me out, because if I had not been as involved as I was in, I was not in Portland during the trial. I did not face Anna Brown, the judge, in this particular trial. But I talked to people every day that were there. I talked to people who sat in the witness room. I talked to people who were observing. I talked to people who were defendants. If I did not know all of this stuff firsthand, I would tell anybody that if you told me what Anna Brown did in a courtroom that was unconstitutional, I'd say, oh, you're nuts. You're just a black helicopter theorist, tinfoil hat, crazy person. But the day that she said in the second trial that we're going to issue a second level of misdemeanor charges and we're not going to allow a jury because I'm going to be your jury, that is a blatant respect and allowment of the Constitution. And for the media not to blow that up and let people know, hey, if she can do this in the public and think she can get away with it, what else is she doing? And to me, that just kind of brings it all to a head.
Well, do you ever wonder why there's no media allowed or video cameras or anything allowed in the courtroom?
No, I don't wonder why.
Well, that's, you know, they have to hide their deeds. They can't let them out for them to say, for her to blatantly straight up say to the jury, you have more than enough evidence to convict. Wow. Time and again, she says that to the jury when, and that was in the first trial. I know she did it in the second trial. I was there. When she does those types of things, she has already signed, sealed, delivered a verdict.
Mm-hmm.
We were just blessed only by the hand of God that kept us from going in, that the jury acquitted us. They are being led and schmoozed by a judge. It's I've never seen anything like this. Well, but, you know, I don't hang out in courts.
Yeah.
So, well, I never did before.
Well, you are now.
Now I'm getting on. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
And I told him I'm having to learn how to become an attorney with a fire hose. It's just a crash course.
Actually, the research that you presented, that you did while your trial was taking place in Portland and made public, number one, verifies what I said earlier, calling you a patriot like no other and living without any fear whatsoever in the grace of God. But secondly, anybody who goes to trial on a constitutional issue, they should call you and hire you to at least be their research expert, if not their litigator.
Well, I don't want to step on people's toes, but I think that they need to learn. We learn from experience. That's how we all learn. And they did listen a little bit, but they didn't. I think, just like you said, some people just think I was way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't win doing the same thing over and over. That's called insanity. When you think you're going to get a different result using the same program that you've done for all these years, it's not going to change. So sometimes we have to be a little different. We have to open our minds and our hearts so that we can feel the Spirit of the Lord and He can guide us. We are really stuck because we think that we can keep voting and doing things the same way every day and it's going to change. So if we keep sending our kids to school the same thing and they have a plan that's changing that and we're not paying attention. I think Glenn Beck put it pretty well one time when he talked about boiling the frog in the pot.
Right.
But you just turn the heat up a little at a time. That's what's happening to us. We just keep doing the same thing.
And you did just describe why Clive and Bundy and his sons led the charge because, you know, before that, I would have been with the faction that is trying to stand up for the Constitution constitutional rights that land grazers have with the split estate and all of those things, but always saying, but we need to pursue it through the court system. And Clive and Bundy said, we've been doing that. If we keep doing that, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And he did something different.
Right, because he felt that he was inspired to do more, because you can't be in a trap system and expect to be free. It isn't a free system. If you think about it, and this was brought to my attention, that if you send out federal agents to undercover, that's what they are, and we found out there was lots of them in Oregon and in Nevada, so you send out all of these undercover agents, and they inflame and incite, entrap you, then they send U.S. Marshals out to arrest you, then they take you into a federal court where they put you in federal jail, and they give you a federal defender, and they prosecute with a federal prosecutor in front of a federal judge. What do they all have in common? They're all paid by who, right?
Uncle Sam.
Right, same person downstairs.
Shauna Cox, my guest. I don't think 1 hour is going to be enough to capture everything Shauna has to share. I don't know why it took us so long to get her here, but she's here now. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the second half of Rural Route after this. And quickly reminding you about another set of patriots in this country. Most of them are veterans. All of them are in agriculture. But the All-American Beef Battalion continues to charge ahead and be leaders in saying thank you to our nation's soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardians, and National Guardsmen. If you would like to be a part of this endeavor, 10 years strong, 400,000 individuals that we have served, a one-pound ribeye, at 16-ounce ribeye, cheesy potatoes, corn, dinner roll, dessert, all thanks to you. Not $1 is spent on administration. Steaksfortroops.com to get full details. Welcome back to Rural Route. I'm Trent Lew. Shauna Cox is joining us from Las Vegas because she is at the trial that is taking place just down the road, the trial of basically the Bundy family and other individuals who showed up to stand up for rights guaranteed to us by the Constitution of the United States, so we thought, and only made possible if willing people stand up and hold others and the government accountable. Shauna Cox is certainly one of those individuals. We haven't talked about the judge in it's not in Las Vegas. Where is the town that the trial is taking place?
In Las Vegas.
It is in
You're
Las
right.
Vegas? I thought it was yes. a town outside. Anyway, the trial is taking place in Las Vegas. We haven't talked about the judge there. But the one thing that came to light, and you referenced it there towards the end, in Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, there were 15, we know of 15 informants and undercover FBI. That is more than there were there standing up for the constitutional rights, and that's one thing. But then when you have John Kilman, an FBI agent undercover, who plants, who's using weapons and has ammunition in a pile in one corner of the refuge, and then that becomes evidence that these guys are training and preparing to go to battle, and you have case after case where all of these FBI people are actually doing things that later they tried to pin on you, Shauna Cox. Is that justice?
Oh, no. That's the situation in most cases that we find, is that's the entrapment. They have usurped our people to think that they are breaking apart some kind of terrible ring. There is no such thing here. And I'm sure that there are across the world, but that this is not one of those situations. And I'm finding that more and more of the people that are in jail have been set up or entrapped, if you want, into some kind of, after they make these crazy laws. Mm-hmm. Where did they come up with a law that says they can give you a felony for any kind of crime over $1,000, and at that point they can take away your weapons? Your only defense, you know, that we have, well, is afforded by our Constitution. I'm really appalled at this, because people still have to defend themselves just because somebody said they stole something that was over $1,000. What does that play into? Shall not be infringed. I cannot for the life of me figure that out. And then they make another law that says if you're caught with a weapon, then you automatically go to jail for 5 years to prison. That, I mean, that is unbelievable to me. And they entrap us. And then our biggest problem is we don't realize that this federal government was never set up to be our policing power. We have our sheriffs to be our police, not this policing power, the federal government, who's usurped that power. Tell me one of them that you can vote out of office.
I'd like to vote Daniel Love out of office. When's that election?
Oh, well, you know, we can't even get him to trial because even though he was the main character in this whole operation in down here in Bunkerville, that they won't even allow him. Then, well, they won't even bring him in. They played the game, they pulled that card, you know, that he's sick or gone to a mental institution or something. After he was exposed in Burning Man, then suddenly he's off the playing field. They aren't bringing him in. You can't talk about him. You can't, even though they talk about him a little bit, okay, because they brought it to light in this trial. We are not allowed to talk about it. In fact, just the other day, last week, I have to tell you that we had one man in this trial that by the name of Todd Angle, and he went pro se. His attorney that was appointed to him was absolutely, I hate to say bad things about people, but this poor man, I don't know how he got to be an attorney, but probably, inheritance. But he couldn't even stay awake during the pretrial. He
couldn't
doesn't
stay
have
awake.
Any idea what's going on. Oh, he falls out of a chair. I think he abuses some kind of substance, but he has no clue what's going on. And he was fired by Todd, and then he became pro se. And he has a lot of faith. But let me tell you, he's been absolutely the star player in this trial. He's been defending himself, and he's asked some of the greatest questions. He is amazing. Well, last week, he did a kind of a bold move because he was cross-examining some of the federal agents. He asked the very last question that he said, so isn't it true that Daniel P. Love is in trouble or is under
investigation? Yes.
An investigation, and then as he walked away to sit down, of course, you know, the prosecution jumps to their feet and screams, you know, and the judge sends the jury out, central break, but for them anyway, but they send the jury out, and they demanded that Todd Angle be stripped of pro se. So the judge let him, I mean, they took away his pro se for the day, she said. But even later in the same day, they exposed that one of these six, okay, Greg Burleson, who was supposed to be blind and everybody's foreign sorry for and he doesn't want to die in jail and all these things, they discover that when one of the FBI agents is on the stand, Greg's very own attorney brings to light that he asked this agent, he said, didn't Mr. Burleson work for you in 2012? Or maybe he didn't ask him the year, but he asked him if he'd worked for him, and he said yes. And he said, he said from 2012 to 2013, and my understanding, though, he was very, very nervous. The agent was very, very nervous as he was questioned in this direction. And then they asked what he did with him, you know, in 2013. Now, this was the year before the standoff.
Right.
So he said he handed him off. And then he continued to ask a few other questions. And then right before the end of the day, I mean, before he finished his questioning with him, he came back and said, by the way, who did he hand him off to? And
beautiful.
He said, Agent Nixon. And he says, the very same agent we just interviewed, that we just, you know, was a witness here yesterday. And yet, so now we find that one of these men has been undercover all this time, even sitting with the defendants inside the court and inside the jail. And we wonder if he's really blind. We don't know what's really going on. Is that really real? Who do we trust? So he knows everything that the defendants and their attorneys, you know, is happening. And is he still an informant? And we weren't able to ask any more questions. That was only for them only. And the attorney won't go so far. So that is amazing. He didn't go back and finish the questions. He's supposed to be defending the guy, right?
Right.
So he can't ask the rest of the questions like,
so,
how long is he still employed, you know?
So at the end of the day, when you have defendants who are up on trial, supposedly, and they are mingling and they're learning, and I mean, this is just insider trading. This is entrapment. This is not justice.
Oh,
and we let it happen. Shauna, we turn a blind eye to it. The American 320 million Americans should be standing up right now saying this is not what this country is about.
Oh, this should be a mistrial. They should throw this thing out. We were sure they were going to do that. We come back to the court. I can't say we because I haven't been in the courtroom. But the very next day when they came back to the courtroom, the judge said, you know, nothing to look at here, moving on. And they went ahead and played all of his inflammatory Longbow production interview that was absolutely ramped it up. And that's one of the things that they were basing their case on.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Shauna, we've got 2 minutes in this segment. I do want to ask you something because I'm 1,000 miles away. I show up when I feel like I can make a difference. But I still don't know who to trust. How do you deal with that day in and day out? Because you don't have a clue who you can trust and who you can't.
Here's what I know. I know that for me, the Lord has blessed me with a gift of understanding people. I feel them. I feel if they're good or not. And because of that, I have all the faith in the Lord. Because it guides me. It leads me to know when danger's about or when it's people I can trust. And so I do that. I have to go by my heart. I have to be around them. I have to feel them. Otherwise I get a little leery. But most of the time I believe in people. It's just that I feel that. So that's how I know. And he just blessed me with that gift. And there are a lot of good people in this world, and I am so thankful for them, for their prayers, for everything, because there are really good people. And I'm not that I'm amazed there's good people. There are good people. But I'm grateful for those who step up and are willing to do something about it. They come out of the woodwork sometimes, you just don't know what it's going to be. I hate to live in fear.
I was at Malheur National Wildlife Refuge January the 10th for 2 hours, and I left, and I said to myself, the problem here is that we have a culture of folks from rural America, and in particular, I'm talking about Ammon, Bundy, and Lavoie Finicum, because it was Ammon that I spent the time with. But we're too trusting. And I saw him trusting in anybody that showed up wanting to help, and I knew that was going to be a recipe for a problem. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the final segment of Rural Route. Shauna Cox, my guest, bringing us up to speed on what's happening with our, in quotes, justice system. More after this. You know what? Kelly and I decided that we were going to put the MPS agri systems in place because they were simple and they were reliable. Like all mechanical things, they do need some tending to once in a while. Well, Lindsay has taken a tremendous interest, I'll say a keen interest, in how these work. In fact, she's giving her FFA speech at the state competition. And this past weekend, one of the hoppers got plugged up. This 14-year-old grabbed the wrenches, she tore it apart, fixed the little flanges, put it all back together. That's how simple and reliable the system is. And it can work for you in feeding your sows with an automated electronic system just like it does for us. mpsagra.co.uk to get full details. It's all about being simple. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. We are into the final segment with the Patriot, like no other, Shauna Cox from Utah. And Shauna, we were both together at John Day to celebrate the life of Lavoie Finicum and One Cowboy Standing for Freedom. And what I came away with that from is that there is an assembled group of women who are absolutely amazing. And I don't even know where to start the list, but on my list, Jeanette Finicum is at the top. The Finicum family has just, they could have caved, they could have went home and want everybody to feel sorry for them. They have not. They carry on the entire spirit of what Lavoie was doing. And by the way, for people that don't know, Lavoie Finicum went to Burns, Oregon to participate in a parade marching from downtown Burns, ending up at the Hammonds home, absolutely protesting the fact that these two ranchers, Dwight and Stephen Hammond, are being placed in jail as political prisoners because they were managing the property correctly with permission from the same federal government that ultimately convicted them then of burning 137 acres. Lavoie Finicum didn't even take a change of clothes because he was going up there for the Saturday and going home. And he never went home. But the women in this movement are what, to me, is most amazing, and you're part of that. And I just want everybody to know this is not just all a testosterone-driven event. It's people who believe in the constitutional rights were guaranteed by the founders of our country. So thank you, Shauna.
Well, I have to say amen to that because the Finicum family have been wonderful. So his daughters and his wife have really picked up the ball and been running with it and trying to wake up the world. And I think that is absolutely amazing. I try to do everything I can to help them. We've gotten even closer over all this. Of course, I did know them, but I hadn't, you know, this has really drawn everybody close, especially the women, the Bundy women, the Bundy's wives, everybody, because we understand that the Constitution is our life-saving line. If we don't uphold the Constitution and restore it to where it should be, then we've lost our country. And mothers understand how important that is. I'm sure dads do, I'm sorry. But they understand how important that is for the children. And we all have a lot of children. And all the wives that are in this have lots of children. And we understand that importance, that we can't give them anything if we can't give them freedom. And that's in our, on our heartstrings. And thinking of that, I want to come back to Clive. And, I spoke with Clive the other day, and he was in jail. And of course, and he's very upset that these people are not being taken care of. They want to, the attorneys just want to get him out of jail. And I keep telling them, he's not going to go out. Because if you were to release him right now, he's going down with the ship, people. He does not want to get out when there's all these other men that are stuck in jail. He's chewing on us because the men in Oregon got sentenced, you know. I mean, they're not sentenced yet, but they got found guilty because he thinks we can stop this wicked judge. And we weren't able to influence the attorneys enough to do what we tried to get them to do, because they're playing their own kind of attorney games, and they're limited because they will never bite the hand that feeds them. And that's what's happening here, the same situation. They only go so far. That's a problem. And that's the reason we have this problem. And I alone can't do this. But there are many people whose hearts are being touched. And we need more. We need more people to be standing on those steps out in front of the courthouse. We need them to scream and yell. We need them to throw a fit because Ryan just Ryan went into the hole with Ammon and Ryan Payne because they were sick and tired of being body searched, you know, every single time they leave a room to go into another room. It's just nasty. It's unreal how they treat people. And these men were found not guilty. They were found innocent in Oregon, and yet they're still being held and still being treated as if they were animals. And it's unreal. When do the people stand up and say, okay, that's enough? When do they show up and take their vacation time or take their time and come down here to the courthouse? Come here and stand up and say, hold a sign, whatever it is, write a book, tell a story, get on a call, get on your Facebook, share that. It's like things are trying to, you know, they suddenly go silent until they see blood. We can't do that, people. We have, but there's still people here. They're still suffering. We need America. We need those people who have, just like you, Trent, you're amazing, you're wonderful. We need these people to put it out because the real media, you guys are the real media. The major media will never do it. And I've watched when they come out and they say absolutely nothing about what's going on. Nothing that's going on here because that's not major news, you see, because they want that hushed up. Because how can they do their dirty work if we keep exposing them? Remember, Ammon used to say it like this. We have to shine the light on the evil because it's just like the sunshine to the cockroaches. When you shine the light, they all run. That's what we have to do. We have to expose them to what they're really doing. This is that's the American way. That's what truth and light does. And we have to do that. And we need everybody's help. We still do. We're going to be launching a website here shortly called helpclivebundy.org in the next few days. And anybody that can help, if you can't, you know, write. I mean, still letters are wonderful. If that's all, you know, if that's what you can do, $5 is great because we have all these expenses trying to do political work. I mean, this legal work, and it's not cheap. And we're running out of resources, so we are asking people to please help step up and. Do what you can for the truth.
The amount of faith that those of you that were a part of that first trial in Portland is just, you know, I spent 2 hours with Ammon, and I came away with so much respect and how rooted he was in faith, and at the end, the right thing will be done. And what I want to remind people is that we always, in all situations, Shauna, we want a silver bullet. The only way we get the truth shined upon the evil and bring awareness is that we do one little thing every day. And it's a long haul. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And anybody that wants to be a part of it, the time is now.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. Pray. If we don't hit our knees and pray, we will not have the blessings of the Lord to help us through this. This is his nation. This is his constitution. These are his children. And we know that this fight is his, and that but the only way we win is by doing what he asks us to do. So just listen to your heart and step up and be brave. And do what Trent's doing. I appreciate them.
Sean, I want to just come back. We've got 3 minutes. There's one thing along that line that came out of your trial in Portland that I want everybody to know and understand. There were two things not permitted in that courtroom, and that was prayer, reference to God, and the Constitution. If we don't have God in the Constitution of the United States, what do we have?
You're right. We have communism, honey.
Not on your and my watch, dear.
That's right.
So, yep. Shauna, knowing that we've already shared just a snippet that we don't know who to trust, what are you suggesting people at home, whether they're listening in South Carolina, Arizona, or Minnesota, what should they do right now?
I can't tell anybody what to do, but because each individual has talents have gifts. The Lord bless them with certain things. Some of them have riches. Some people have faith. Some people pray, and some people can write, and some people can speak. And they need to step up. They need to speak out. They need to talk to their neighbors. They have Facebook. Some people are great on Facebook. Share it out, you know? So maybe you can't, and every little bit helps, every little bit. So whatever you're inspired to do, please just make that move and do it and keep engaged. Try to find that. We try to get the media out the best we can, but we're left with alternative media. You guys are so phenomenal that you can put this out because we need you desperately. They want to keep it quiet. They want to keep it undercover. They want to hide it.
The other thing that we need awareness of, and I must do this in the last minute, it's the reason that Shauna Cox went to Burns in Harney County to begin with. Dwight and Stephen Hammond are in prison unjustly. There is a huge movement happening this week in Washington, D.C. for clemency for the Hammonds. And a very little thing that you can do, if you want to do something and don't really know what to do, engage in being a part of requesting clemency for Dwight and Stephen Hammond. That's a start. That's not where we end. That's the start leading to freedom for all 320 million Americans, not just the individuals that engaged in this process. Shauna Cox, my prayers are with you, and I can't wait to see you again.
Well, thank you so much, you too. And we haven't forgot the Hammonds. We filed the lawsuits again that we started in Harney County is now engaged, and we are still working that process as we are still fighting to get them out.
So many places for us to fight, folks. Just do a little bit. That's the request. We have successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. My sincere thanks to Shauna Cox. I will see her again soon. Hopefully all of us can see Shauna soon. We all remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Once again, in closing, just want to remind you about marketing cattle the superior way. Details about the sale coming up. The next video sale, by the way, is April the 6th. That's a day there's a lot of wildfire relief cattle selling around the country as well. There are many bull sales coming up. All you need to do to get a handle on that is go to the website, superiorlivestock.com. Check out the country page countdown again on Thursday. Buffalo, Wyoming, there's a set of cattle that have got every single background information you could have on there. Bryan, Texas, Nipa, Texas, White River, South Dakota, Mountain Grove, Missouri, Stanford, Kentucky, Cascade, Iowa, Deep River, Iowa, Bernard, Iowa, Bayard, Nebraska. Those cattle have not sold. There's a set from Bayard, Nebraska. Here's a set from Bryan, Texas that did sell. That's just a smattering of the individual groups of cattle that are available for sale on the country page right now. Market your cattle the superior way and have a fantastic day.